Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So the text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Luke 1, and we will be focusing on verses 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather, to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith, deep, trusting, enduring faith in our hearts, and may this faith flow out in lives of love toward others. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I mentioned before, this is week three of our four-week Advent series called He Comes Among Us. We've been looking at the incarnation, Jesus actually coming among us, Son of God coming among us in the flesh, but each gospel writer emphasizes different things. And so we looked at Matthew to start and how he comes among us as God with us. And then last week we looked at Mark and he comes among us as the Mighty One. So today we're looking at Luke and how Luke says that the Son of God comes among us in the flesh as the promised king. Now, speaking of kings, Melissa and I are now enjoying currently one of our favorite television shows on Netflix called The Crown. Is anybody familiar with that? Anybody watch that? Is anybody willing to pay that much for Netflix? You know, just, yeah, I know. Just, well, it's actually a very, very good show. It is deeply fascinating. I mean, not only is the acting great, the writing great, the directing and production values, but it is just fascinating the way the show presents the British royal family in such a way that shows kind of a dichotomy, the struggle of the public persona versus the private behind the scenes. You know, public persona is everyone loves the family. They love the queen, they love the princes and princesses, there's crowds, there's cheering, all kinds of good stuff. But then the show shows what's going on behind the scenes, and wow, you thought your family was dysfunctional. Man. In fact, right now, we're watching season four, and it's unfolding the marriage of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, and how it was a fairy tale to the people on the outside, but behind closed doors, ooh, I had no idea. Very intriguing, very engaging, and I think that's the thing. For many of us, we have this like ongoing fascination with royalty. You know, we want to know about them, you know, who they are, what they do, what they're supposed to do, and especially how they, the royalty, relate to us, the common folk. Well, royalty is in the background of our text from Luke here, although at first it doesn't appear so. You know, the story starts off with Mary, right? Mary's betrothed to Joseph. She's excited. She's going to get married. And she's just living her life in this small backwater town named Nazareth. Everything's going fine. Until one day, an angel from God, named Gabriel, is sent to her and announces something to her. Oh, Mary, you are highly favored with God. And that favor shows up in the most impossible situation. She will conceive and bear a son, even though she is still a virgin. So that's how this story begins. Gabriel sent to Mary. He announces, you know, you're favored and you're going to have this child and you're going to give him the name Jesus. But then Gabriel goes on to say that this is no ordinary child, this is no ordinary son. He says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So according to Luke, God has chosen Mary to give birth to a king. A king that God has promised his people that he would send, and those promises are now being kept and fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, while this king, of course, is special and probably the most special king ever to be born in the history of the world, the whole idea of kings was nothing new to the people of Israel. No, actually, it's kind of ironic that this week of the message series coincided with what I am teaching the eighth graders here at St. John's Lutheran School on Wednesdays in eighth grade religion class. We've been going through the story, which is kind of a narrative overview of the entire Bible. And we are on that part where we're talking about Samuel. Talking about kind of the last of God's judges in the history of Israel, and how one day the people of Israel come up to Samuel and they have demands. They say, Samuel, you're too old, your sons are evil and wicked, therefore give us a king like the other nations. Give us a king like the other nations that's going to judge us and fight our battles for us. And Samuel is very upset about this. But the Lord talks to Samuel and he says, whoa, calm down. It's not you they're rejecting. No, they're rejecting me as their king. You see, all they want, Samuel, is a king after their own desires. I think the same so often is true for you and me. So often we seek a king after our own desires who will, you know, rule and will fight our battles for us, and yet avoid our sinfulness. You know, we seek a king that's going to crush those who oppose us and yet pass by our sinful intentions. We seek a king that wants to reward us for all the good that we do. Oh yeah, please don't look at the evil that is deep within our hearts. We seek a king. Just, you know, we want him to rule over us in such a way that our sin does not bubble up to the top, and therefore he'll judge us. In fact, we want a king that will do the impossible. We want a king that will save us from our sin by flat out denying it. We want a king that will show us the favor of the Lord based on our own righteousness. We want to be given a king that still allows you and me to be king, to be queen, to be in charge, to rule, to still be in control of everything. So often we want this king. So often we ask God for this king, and God gives us a king. But he gives us the king that he promised us. You see, when you actually look at what Gabriel is saying to Mary, you start to see what's going on here. He tells Mary that this king to be born will reign over the house of Jacob. And that instantly hurdles you back into the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis 49, when Jacob is blessing every single one of his 12 sons, and he gets to Judah and declares the line of Judah to be royalty. The scepter will not depart from you, but look at the kingdom that he describes. It's like a feast, overflowing with abundance, overflowing with more food than you can eat, overflowing with wine to the brim, overflowing with such joy, and it'll never end. And then he goes on. He says, he will be given the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will have no end. And immediately you're hurtled back again to the promises God made. And like Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, there will be no end. His kingdom will last forever, just like the Lord told David himself that we just heard this morning. I will build you a house, and your throne will last forever. So you see, God is giving us a king that he promised. But even more so, we see the promises of a king that God is keeping right now in the way the king comes among us. Gabriel is sent to Nazareth. Nazareth, so small, so insignificant, it's not even mentioned in the Old Testament. He's not sent to Jerusalem, where all the power and the royalty is. He's sent to Nazareth. And he's sent to Mary, a lowly, humble servant girl, not to some queen with a bunch of status and draped in royal robes, no. And this king comes among us showing his holy power in human weakness. When the Son of God takes on our frail human flesh, when he suffers rejection and rebellion from his own people, even as he proclaims the very kingdom of God has come among them, and goes all the way to the cross, where he shows his awesome power by dying for you and for me, for our sin, and then rising again, putting it away forever. Yes, God gives us a king. He gives us the king that he promises, and this is the king that you and I exactly need. You have been given a king that does not ignore your sin, but saves you from it. You have been given a king that shows the Lord's favor to you, not based on how righteous you are, but completely and totally based on how righteous he is. You have been given a king that rules over you, not with an iron fist, not like the kings of the other nations, not some dysfunctional royal king, but one who rules over you with his grace, with his mercy, and with the Holy Spirit himself. And you can trust this promised king to make possible what you think is impossible. Whatever you face, anything that you face, your promised king, Jesus Christ, rules over you with his promises. When you face this sinful, broken world with this coronavirus running amok, with a nation that we live in torn apart, when you see evil all over the place and you think it's impossible that it's going to be put back together, your King Jesus promises, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. When you face the brokenness in your life, broken relationships, broken health, broken finances, and you're wondering, is this all going to be put okay, your King Jesus promises you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When you face your sin, the horrors of your sin, how enslaving it is, how repetitive it is, how you give in to sin again and again, and you're wondering, it's going to be impossible to ever be free from it. Your King Jesus promises, take heart, your sin is forgiven. I will remember your sin no more. And when you face the impossible situation of death's door that every single one of us is going to go through, your King Jesus promises, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, they will live forever. You know, maybe that's why we are so fascinated with kings, with queens and royalty. Why? Well, let me offer you the words of Princess Diana herself. I don't know if I heard it in an episode or actually heard it in an actual interview from her, but here's what she said. The people, they just want to be loved. And what great love God has shown to you and me in keeping his promises, giving you and me a king, his own son, born of the Virgin Mary, who rules the world, who rules our lives, who rules our hearts with his grace, with his peace, and yes, with his love. Amen.